Come on.
Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right.
David, are you ready?
I'm ready. People are ready. Let's go.
I like it. Welcome to Money Savage Engage. This is George Grumbacher. David Gerber is a partner speaker and executive coach at Novus Global. Excited to have you on. David, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Yeah, so personal life. I live in Oakland, California, and I've been married for almost 10 years to an amazing woman named Sarah, who's a filmmaker and does a number of other things as well. And why I do what I do, I would say, you know, I got a text the other day, and it was from a guy that I'd coached for just one session. So we had one session, and he sent me a text afterwards saying that one call jump-started a ton of things in his world. He'd been kind of taken slacking off, if you will. And in that call, he said, "Hey, it jump-started a lot of things for me." He said his wife has noticed massive differences in him, his energy, his commitment to taking actions to move his life forward. And so I'd say that's an example of why I do what I do, as well as probably I could go for hours on it, but I love talking about why I do what I do.
No, that's awesome. And so I assume that he is on your calendar to do lots more sessions if just the one yeah. had such a profound impact.
Yeah, exactly. So that typically is what I'm going for, whether a person works with me or not. The first time I talk with them, my goal is that if it's the only time we talk, that it will change their life. And so, because for me, any conversation you're in on any given day can dramatically change the course of your trajectory. And so that's what I swing for.
Well, amen to that, brother. I think that is possible. And I don't think that enough people look at it like that. What is your, what do you think about that?
Yeah. You know, I think you're right. I think people mostly, I think there's just too much of a percentage of the population that's somewhat resigned to this arbitrary limited capacity we put on ourselves in terms of what we can create with our lives, the impact we can have on others. And so people kind of generally sort of give up. And that may be like a harsh way of putting it, but they're like, nah, you know, same crap, different day, whatever kind of mentality. And they let themselves kind of slip into that.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I love when I get to have conversations with people and, you know, developing the skill with coaching of, you know, usually being able to ask. To me, the way I look at it is that the way I describe it is this idea of like fierce advocacy. And so for me, I'm not always trying to get somebody to be my friend, but I want them to know that I would fiercely advocate for them if given permission to do so. So I don't, you know, come barreling in. But if somebody is interested in that, and I was even thinking about this as I was prepping for today, I've actually got a TEDx talk coming up March 27th, 2020. And I've been doing a lot of thinking about this. And for me, it was really helpful when I established that when I'm speaking, when I'm doing my TED talk, that for me, I'm speaking to people who want to increase their impact that their life is having. They want to increase their fulfillment, and they want to increase the peace with which they live. Like, that's who I'm speaking to. And then in line with that is I'm speaking to people who want to increase the rate of the velocity in which they grow. So like, if, let's say on a scale from 1 to 10, if in 2019 you grew at a rate of 7 out of 10 of what you think you're capable of, I want to speak to people that are like, yeah, last year was like a 7 out of 10. I think I could do an 8 or a 9 or a 10 out of 10 this year in terms of my rate of growth. And I love speaking to that. And so that's usually what I go for.
Increasing the rate of growth. I love it. You know, that's something that I think is got to be a through line to most successful people, is that they are curious and they are lifelong learners.
Yeah.
So when you're working with folks that are like that and you say, hey, you know what? You feel like you're at a seven or whatever, I think I can potentially get you to a nine or a 10 or whatever number that, well, I was going to say whatever number you think is possible, but that could be limiting thinking, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what's fun about it is it's not about what the number that somebody would say, because some, you know, I might ask that to Oprah and she might say last year was a four for her. She thinks she could have grown a lot more. And I might say a seven, or, you know, anybody that I ask. And so the point is not what number somebody selects for themselves. The point is, when you think about it, is there room for growth in how fast you're growing? And again, I don't mean that towards like, oh, 100 hour weeks and like you neglect your family and you're just a workaholic. And, you know, I'm not saying it that way. For me, it's putting together the ideas of what it means to have an impact with your life, to have fulfillment, to have peace, like to have a great family life, to have a great friendships, you know, that kind of thing, where it's very holistic in terms of what's a person's rate of growth towards that. And do they see that, hey, this year, I think I could grow faster than I did last year. And so let's take a look at 2019 and go, hey, what slowed me down? What things, how did I get in my own way? What did I do or not do that slowed me down? That if I change that in 2020, my rate of growth would go up and I'd reap all the benefits of that.
Yeah. Being able to look backwards and sort of do a diagnostic and find the opportunities. Is there a certain area that you're finding is creating an impact, like the way people talk to themselves, their perspective? Is there anything like that?
Are you talking about in terms of like industry, or are you talking about in terms of kind of mentality?
Yeah, no, I think that more from a mentality standpoint. If people were to make a change in this area, I think that there's a possibility for a real exponential growth within them.
Yeah, I would say, and this kind of actually ties in nicely with the TED Talk that I'm developing, is what I'm learning is if you create this distinction and between a person who, I think the best word that I've currently come up with is this idea of self-worth, of worthiness. And sometimes I know when you say that word, people's eyes roll and they're like, oh, worthiness, self-esteem, like cool, whatever. and so when I speak with it, I usually have some boldness and grit and authority when I speak to it, because I want to get past that eye roll. Because I don't think there's a person on the planet, and I've talked with a number of my clients who are, you know, fairly successful people with 30-year track records of success in a certain industry, and then they want to see if they can grow. And so one of my clients the other day, he's an executive vice president, and I brought up this conversation with him, and you know, he kind of looked at me and he's like, can we talk about this stuff in coaching? And I said, absolutely. This stuff matters, because whether, you know, if you take the distinction between somebody who has a really healthy self-worth, like a get that I am, I'm worthy of a great life outside of what I produce. Because for anybody listening, it's like the question is, have you ever done something that was successful that you thought would make you feel better about yourself, but it didn't do that? So have you ever done something elite, ever done something really great, like maybe you had a huge promotion or a huge sale or a huge year? Or, you know, for me, I actually have a story about this I can tell you about with doing my – I did an Ironman race in 2016, and – in some ways, I think I don't know, like I never up until this point in my life had never seen myself as like capable of doing anything elite. And then for some reason, I ended up doing an Ironman, which I didn't just end up doing it, but, you know, built up to it. And then being an Ironman, it was one of the hardest things for me was accepting that I had done something elite. But beyond that, it was like doing that thing that was elite didn't actually like change anything self-worth for me. So it was... My self-worth didn't change until I actually had a willful and intentional conversation, or I guess I would a series of conversations that will continue throughout the rest of my life around my worth coming from who I am, not what I produce. And so when I'm talking with this EVP, what we're talking about is how much this influences how you craft your vision and goals for the year. Whether you work out well or not, whether you keep healthy, your level of energy, the friendships you create, the work you create. Your self-worth is, I would say, the foundation of so much of that. And if it's present, I think people have the chance to have a really high rate of growth. But again, it will be combined with the fulfillment. Because people can be really successful without self-worth, but typically they'll be successful, but they'll be missing this component of fulfillment, peace of mind, the joy, the happiness that I think people want even more than they want the success. But it requires a deeper kind of visceral, willful, intentional conversation with yourself, similar to, you know, I'll tell people, you know, if let's say you had a kid who was 8 years old and they're playing a sport or they're playing an instrument or whatever it is, how you would intentionally speak to them to encourage them. Right. You want to actually transfer. If I'm a father and I'm speaking to my 8-year-old son, I want to actually be able to transfer this sense of confidence and self-worth to my son, whether he hits the home run or he strikes out, whether he nails the piano recital or whether he totally bombs it. I want to be able to, but we don't often think about doing that with ourselves. And it's not a willful and intentional thing where I'm trying to transfer that. It's like, oh, I tried that positive self-talk stuff. Nah, it didn't work. Kind of deal.
So much good stuff there, and I definitely agree with all of it. I think that's such a great way to the story about you completed an Ironman is such a great way to illustrate this, because that's an extraordinary feat that you accomplished, but it's just something that you did. It's not something that you are, and it very well could have been, you know, it could have been a quarterback who wins a Super Bowl, for goodness sakes. Yep. But the next day, they're still feeling empty and not fulfilled because they haven't done the work to really discover their self-worth.
Yep. Yeah.
So how do you go about doing that?
It's a great it's really fun to think about that, because to kind of dovetail the Ironman conversation, it was interesting because there was couple of weeks after I'd completed the Ironman, and again, quick track record on me, I played high school baseball, and when we would we'd warm up for practice, we'd run this 1.2-mile loop around the park, and it was torturous. I remember just, oh my gosh, we got to run this park, and then if we screwed up as a team, which we did often, we'd have to run the double. We'd have to run two, which is 2.4 miles, and I remember how torturous that was. And so even through my 30s, even in my early 30s, for me to go out and run 2 miles, I would do this thing in January. I'd go run 2 miles like once or twice. It would be miserable. Every step I took was just like, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks. And so to go from there to eventually did a half marathon was kind of my gateway. I did a half marathon and my brain kind of expanded, and I did a full, and then I did a half Ironman, then I did a full Ironman. And then a couple weeks after I did a full Ironman, I was at the dinner with my wife at this really great little Italian restaurant, and we're having some pasta and some wine or whatever. And I'm realizing I'm coming to grips with, I'm really struggling with the fact that I've done this. My brain can't seem to compute it. And it was funny because there was a friend of mine who was going to run an Ironman in Mallorca, Spain in about 3 weeks' time from when this dinner was happening. And I had this I was compelled to, I'm like, hey, I want to go cheer this guy on. Like, and I could, like, I'm like, look at the flights. I'm like, I can get on this flight. I can go to Mallorca, Spain, and I can watch my friend do his Ironman. I can cheer him on. But I was like, I don't think and I said to her, I said, I don't think I deserve this. And I was like, I don't understand why I'm struggling with this. And she looks at me and she says, well, I know why, which she's so perceptive. So she typically does. And she says to me, she goes, you haven't accepted that you're an Ironman yet. And I started getting emotional, and I was like, why do I struggle with this so much? And what I realized was it's not a one and done thing to me. Self-worth is not a one and done conversation. It's not, I find that, you know, thing in my past that caused the low self-worth and boom, I fix it. Whatever it is. It's like, I look at it as like, you know, eating healthy. Right? You can't like eat healthy for all of January and just drink green juice the whole month, and then the rest of the year just drink terribly and you'll be fine. Or sorry, whatever, you know, sure. Eat terribly. Both. So similar or getting in shape. You don't go to, you know, you don't just go work out 10 hours a day all of January and you're good for the year. It's a intentional, willful pursuit of being in shape or being healthy by the habits that you do. And so for me with the self-worth thing, there's a thing I read almost every morning, which is 30 statements that are a willful, intentional document that it's like a letter to myself, as if I was my best friend saying, you know, I believe in you and you've got this and you're making an impact and I'm so proud of your effort. Like things you would say, you would imagine you say to your spouse or your kids if you really wanted to encourage them when they're going to step into a big moment. It's like, hey, no matter what happens today, I'm going to love you at the end of the day. I'm going to be really proud of you because you put in the effort. And so that's what kind of spun out of that realization after Ironman of like, man, I really wrestle with this. I did this elite thing. And even though I crossed that finish line, it is like, there's no gray area. It's like, I am an Ironman now. And even it was funny because even it took it, even that from that moment, I still had to work on it because I remember I'd be at different things. And a friend of mine who is so encouraging, he would introduce me and he'd say, oh, you know, he's done an Ironman. And I'd be like, not like I just did one. It's not a big, you know, people were like, you did an, like, you know, they're like, that's significant. Yeah. And I would always downplay it. And then I would go on to joke around about how I retired from, you know, being a triathlete after doing one Ironman, which hopefully doesn't sound, hopefully is not insulting to true Ironmen or whatever. I'm true Ironman, but like people that do multiple of them, I want to be respectful of them because it is a very rigorous thing. And then I don't remember, I don't know if there was a day that I just remember going, yeah, I'm an Ironman and I'm comfortable saying that. I'm comfortable saying that I've done that. And what's fun is it opened my brain up to ask myself, kind of like back before I did the half marathon, I realistically did not think I could do it. And then after that, my brain kind of opened. I went and did a full marathon and I didn't think I could do that. So when I crossed the finish line at the full marathon the first time, it was this trail marathon. And I started crying because my brain didn't know. I was like, what did I just do? I never thought I'd ever do that in a million years. And so then I began to ask myself, I wonder where else in my life I've had this arbitrary concept of what I'm not capable of. And then I've never tried because I've just assumed I'm not capable of it. That could be starting a business. It could be launching a nonprofit. It could be, just be being the best dad on the planet, the best mom on the planet, the best spouse, the best parent, right? So it's not just like, oh, you can become a millionaire and drive nice cars and all this stuff. I'm talking about like throughout a person's life, what if you could be elite as a parent, elite as a spouse, elite as a friend, elite as a family member? And then you can be elite as a business owner or, a venture capitalist or a podcast host, whatever it is. But like, what if we approached everything and said, I want to figure out how to be elite from the moment I get up in the morning to the moment I go to bed. And that might even be elite in the whatever people do to slow down as well. Rest, meditation, mindfulness, going for walks. Like, and I don't want to transactionalize everything and make everything like, oh, I want to be an elite walker. It's like, I just want to go to walk. It's like, well, yeah, but I think being intentional about it, hey, I'm gonna go to a walk and I'm gonna unplug. I'm just gonna go for a walk. And I think there is a level of that where if you do are intentional about it, you get more value from it. At least in my experience.
I think that everything you said is so spot on and it really resonates a lot with me. I know that I've always been so self-assured in my ability to do things and to accomplish things. But for the longest time, I was not self-assured in me and who I was and who I am. And yep. I started what I imagine is a very similar practice to what you described of having 30 statements, willful intentions that you recite. And I think that I imagine that a lot of the people that you're working with and you're helping are already doing a lot of the things that it takes to be a successful dad, a successful business person, a successful mom, a great friend, whatever it is that they're interested in doing. It's just that they're potentially lacking that step of getting up every day and reading those statements.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think, it does take effort, right? Like going to the gym. And I think for whatever reason, I think it's been written off too much as just this positive self-talk, these mm-hmm. affirmations, vision boards. And I think it's been written off because it sometimes feels cheesy. Mm-hmm. But then when it comes to, again, you know, cheering my son or daughter on in a sport or an instrument or a dance recital, like people wouldn't say, oh, that's so cheesy. It's like, no, I want to get out down on my knee and I want to look at my kid in the eye and say to him or her, I'm really proud of you. And I think people, if you think that's cheesy, I would invite someone to like slow the heck down and say, is that really cheesy? Because that's the thing that if I go back in time, that's the thing that I was lucky enough to have a dad who did that and a mom who did that. And not everybody was. And again, it wasn't my parents were perfect, but they were pretty dang amazing. And they told me they loved me a lot. And I think we have a deficit of that in our society, unfortunately. And so, and then the more I do it, what I find is I have more of this kind of created and generated within me to then give to other people. And that kind of like the last point I was thinking about was like, is that I think self-worth, even the concept, even by definition, it's self-worth. I don't think it's an individual thing. I think it's a communal thing. Because when you're in a really good community of people and in relationships where I am responsible and I work really hard and I'm willful and intentional with my own self-worth, and which then caused me to want to be a part of other people's journey towards self-creating their own self-worth as well. And then we both get to help each other cultivate it. So I think it's this communal thing, because I do want to be careful from being like radically individualistic or navel gazing. And I want to get the communal collective growth and beauty that comes from when I'm in a community. And I happen to be a part of an amazing executive coaching firm called Novus Global. And one of the things I love so much is that is a very intentional pursuit I get to work with not only people that are my friends, but people that are willful and intentionally sowing that into me and vice versa. And I can't tell you how fulfilling and rewarding and joyful it is to be interacting with those people, kind of people on a regular basis.
Oh, I love it, man. Yeah, I agree. We are, like I say at the end of the show, we are all in this together. So we need to be working to lift one another up and help each other flourish. So I love it.
Yeah.
Well, David, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
I probably should have figured out how to boil this down to one thing, but I would say difference-making tip would be, let me say this. There's a book I read that was so contributing to this for me, and people are going to laugh when they hear this, and so I'm just going to prep people. It's a book. It's written by a guy named Nathaniel Brandon. And it's called How to Raise Your Self-Esteem. And people laugh. I tell them, I recommend it. I send it to people. And I actually had a mentor of mine recommend it to me for like 3 years. And I was like, self-esteem, I don't need that. And I was so skeptical and cynical. And so my difference-making tip would be read a book like that and get beyond the what seems like cheesy about it or whatever people eye roll about it and realize that you can talk to yourself and have a very – very healthy friendship with yourself the way you would want to with your kids, your spouse, your friends. So that'd be my tip in a long-winded way.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
I tell you what, man, there's a reason that some of the most successful people in the world do that. Have I am statements. It's because they work. So
yeah, no, I mean, it is. If you're committed to it, it works. Mm-hmm. If you think it's cheesy, it won't. And that's because that's, you know, you're just giving lip service to it. It's like going to the gym and thinking you're going to work out just by being there and standing by the water cooler and getting juice at the juice bar. And you're like, I'm working out. It's like, no, that doesn't work that way. You either put yourself on the hook. You know, one of my friends told the story. He's like, he had hired a personal trainer. And every time he'd show up, the personal trainer would say, this is actually the CEO of our coaching firm, Jason. His trainer would say to him, do you want me to go easy on you or you want me to give you a heck of a workout? And obviously, like, it's like you hire a personal trainer because you want him to give you a heck of a workout. If I want an easy workout, I just go on my own and save my couple hundred bucks or whatever it will be for that session. And so, so it's like, do you want to put yourself on the hook? Do you want a heck of a workout mentally or do you want to, you know, do you want an easy thing? And if you really engage it, it's a really powerful practice.
Amen. Excellent. Well, David, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
So I've got a website. It's davidagerber.com. So make sure people you put the A in between David, davidagerber.com. The coaching firm website is novus.global. And then I mostly show up. I'll show up on Facebook and LinkedIn at times, but I probably say I'm most frequent on Instagram. I'm not a huge social media person, so my website and blog probably the best way to get in touch with me. And you can email me at david@novus.global.
Perfect. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show David your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to davidagerber.com. Go to novus.global. And I will also list the social media and the notes of the show. Thank you again, David.
All right. Thanks, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together.